morning. And happy 4th of July weekend, even though it's not the 4th. Thank you. We're going to go right into our series today, which is The Lord is My Shepherd. We're on part 6 of the series, which is entitled A Call to Confidence. All right, so if you want to write down on the top of your paper, A Call to Confidence. One of the greatest promises that God made and has made to you and I as the sheep of his pasture is that he will be with us at all times. In fact, the Bible says that he will never, say never, he will never leave us nor forsake us. And this principle really is found all throughout Scripture. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28, verse 15, when Jacob came to Bethel, God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go." In Joshua 1:5, after Moses had died, God told Joshua, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." And then just before Jesus ascended into heaven, in Matthew 28:10, he told his disciples, "And lo, I am with you always. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen? And remember, Acts 10:34, and I say this because, I tell you to remember, because people have a tendency to say things like, "Oh yeah, but that scripture doesn't apply to me. Oh yeah, but that scripture is talking to somebody else. I don't care how many times I hear it, that's not talking to me." I want you to remember that Acts 10:34 says he has no favorites, all right? He doesn't show partiality. If he promises to one, he promises to all. Are you with me? All right. So what God promised Jacob, what God promised Joshua and his disciples, and Jesus' disciples, he also promises to you and I. That's a promise that we can stand on. And knowing the promise that God is always with us and that he will never leave us, is a greater source of confidence than we could ever hope for. Amen? I mean, it's in the low times, right? It's in the dark times. It's in the times of disobedience even, okay? It's in the times of prosperity. It's in the times of health and the times of poor health. All right? God is with you. And you can say, you know, I just don't feel God with me. He must have left. No, he didn't. All right? You said it right to begin with. You just don't feel him. He is always there. Now, why is it so important that you believe that? Because the Word of God says that. And I can't, you know, say it enough that if it says it in the Word of God, you and I as Christians have to believe it. And we have to apply it and we have to live by it. Amen? Yes. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? And we're going to say our Bible declaration. Thought I forgot, didn't you? You thought I forgot. Are you ready? Why don't you hold up your Bible to heaven? Or your phone or whatever, and repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess my heart is receptive. Oh, that too. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Let's go. And I will try not to forget a line of my sermon, okay? Today, what we're going to do is we're going to sort of take a walk through the Bible. Is that all right with you? Yeah. We're going to read a lot of scripture, if you will. And by so doing this, we're going to try to establish in our own minds, okay, in our own hearts, the call to confidence that David had grown to understand. See, David wasn't just confessing these positive things in the Psalms. He was confident in these positive things because he had experienced it. He wasn't hoping that the things would happen. They had happened to him. So he could stand there with all the confidence in the world and give us Psalm 23. He could, with all the confidence in the world, say that God is our rock. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your word today. I pray that you would help us to grab a hold of those scriptures and to just make them a part of our lives. God, I pray you would instill in each one of us a hunger for your word, a hunger to know your promises, to know when to apply them, which is always. God, to know when to live by them, which is always. God, give us a hunger. Give us a true hunger to learn your word, not just read it and forget it, but to learn from your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In Webster's original 1828 dictionary, the primary definition for the word confidence was this. Confidence is a trusting or a reliance or an assurance of mind or firm belief in the integrity, stability, or veracity of another in the truth and reality of the fact. Did you get that? Say it again. Wow. All right. Confidence is a trusting, or it's a reliance, or an assurance of mind, or firm belief in the integrity, in the stability, or veracity of another, in the truth and reality of a fact. All right? In other words, you believe it. That's the way it is. You have confidence in it. All right? I think, you know, confidence. I am confident of how I'm going to react if Serena tells me to do something. If she asks me, I will probably do it. But I am confident what I'm going to feel inside. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Serena, don't listen to that. The truth is, since time began, people have placed their confidence in many different things, including money. All right? Some of us place our confidence in our money and material possessions and education. You know, I've got a master's. I've got a bachelor's. I'm there, all right? And there's been times in the past when people have put their trust in the government. And even in themselves, all right? And although all of these things are helpful and they're even needed in some way to make it through life, they're all fleeting and unreliable. They really are. Only one thing, say one thing. Only one thing is unchanging and constantly reliable at all times and through all generations, and that is God. Amen? He changes not. That's our God. He's who he was, he's who he is, and he is who he will be. Amen? David really understood this, which is why he was able to boldly proclaim in Psalm 23:6, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." You're with me. I don't care where I go, I know you're with me. And I know that because everywhere I've gone in the past, you've been with me. Amen? I'm not just confessing it to make it happen. I'm confident that it will happen because you have always been there. But I want you to understand something this morning. It's important to notice what David didn't say to completely understand what he did say, all right? He didn't say, "Even though I camp out, or even though I live in, or I dwell in the valley of the shadow of death." He said this. He didn't say that. What he said was that he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. David knew that we can't live in the valleys. We only walk through the valleys. And sometimes we have to focus on the fact of what's coming up instead of where we are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The truth is, you just can't live there, but you will walk through there. And when you read the book of Psalms and the history of David's life in 1 and 2 Samuel, it becomes very clear that he went through numerous hardships. All kinds of trouble came into his life. And throughout the course of his life, he was always going through one crisis or another. Yet through the dark moments in his life, and there was many of them, okay, many of them, and I think there's dark moments in all of our lives, whether we just think they're dark or whether other people think they're dark. There's dark moments in our life. But David continued to place his confidence in the Lord. Absolutely did. Amen? Okay. And I really think that we could learn a valuable lesson, a life lesson, if you will, from David in this subject. Because the truth is, God desires the same thing for you and I. All right, that we would be confident in the same thing that David was. Whether you're experiencing challenges or dark times in your marriage, you know, and all of us do, amen? None of the husbands raise their hand. Or whether, you know, we're having a dark time in our family or our finances or on your job. You know what that's like. Or maybe it's dark times in your health. God is with you every step of the way. And like David, we can't stay in those valleys. We have to remember that we are just walking through them and not living in them. The valley that we are in, or maybe even where we might be today, we might find ourselves there today, but it's not where we're going to be tomorrow. Yeah, no kidding. Hallelujah, amen. You know, it looks so dim, it looks so dark, but you know what? It's going to change. You know why? Because of the God we serve. Amen. Are you with me? I think the following passages of Scripture will bring you and I to the place and will give us the strength and encouragement, if you will, that we need to travel through the troubles in our lives and answer the call to confidence that we're given in Psalm 23. Because that's what this psalm is all about, is being confident in the Lord, even though everything is terrible. Okay? You're with me. Amen? I mean, we should be saying that every time we're going through trouble. You know, man, this looks bad, but you know what? God, thank you that you're with me. And you know what? You've already been here, so you know the way out. Come on. Amen. First of all, we need to realize, like David did, that number one, God is our shield against the wicked. All right? Psalm 5:12 tells us the following. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Now understand something. You might think, well, I'm not very righteous. My walk sure isn't righteous. That isn't the issue. The issue is because you know Jesus. Come on. You should be excited about that. Because you know Jesus and your righteousness is found in his righteousness, God promises to be a shield of favor that surrounds you and protects you against the attacks. In Psalm 17, verses 8 and 9, David prayed to the Lord as we can, saying this, "Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me, from my deadly enemies who surround me." How have you ever felt like there's just deadly enemies surrounding you? Well, I don't have any deadly enemies. I'm talking about people that are deadly with their tongue. Amen? The truth is, whenever you feel like you're surrounded by wicked enemies, you can pray a prayer just like this one that David prayed when Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him. And we might not be chased by an evil king who wants to destroy us, but we do endure people who don't know when to hold their tongue, nor do they know when it's hurtful for them to continue to speak. Come on. And because God is our shield against that type of wickedness, because he is our shield, we can be confident that he will always be there protecting and shielding us against those kinds of people. Amen? Yes. Get excited, people. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Number two, God is our rock. What does it mean that God is our rock? Nobody else, absolutely nothing else, is a rock like our God. When you turn to Psalm 18, there's a note just before the text begins that reads like this in most King James Bibles, the authorized version. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." Do you ever read those things, those little subnotes? It's kind of fun. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, and from the hand of Saul." So what did David say or sing to the Lord? Let's look at Psalm 18, verse 1. "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Repeatedly, throughout Scripture, the Psalms, and in the Psalms, we see David praying this prayer, "Lord, set me upon a rock." And we like to pray that prayer too, but do you want to know what that means? You know, we think, well, just set me on Jesus. Well, it can mean that, okay? It can. But the reason for this request was that by being set upon a rock, he would be placed high above, okay? Out of the reach of all of his enemies. The same place that you and I would want to be when we're being attacked out of our enemy's reach. Amen? I mean, how often has people been talking to you or saying things about you or to you or whatever, and you would wish that you were back home or somewhere, not where you are? Amen? I would rather be high upon a rock where what they have to say doesn't touch me. And I don't care what people say, and you know, they can say to me, "Oh, Pastor West, just don't take this personally, but I'm just not going to come to your church anymore. I'm not being fed." What? Just don't take this personally? So how are you supposed to take it? I got to take it when I'm set upon the rock. Amen? I take it then, when that statement really can't touch me. After it touches me. Another phrase that David often used and he often prayed was this one: "Lord, you're my rock and my fortress." This was David's confident declaration of trust in God, that God is the ultimate stronghold of safety in times of trouble. He is the best place to go. Amen? He shouldn't be our last resort. He should be our first choice. All right? The truth is, we can call upon the Lord at any time. Now, doesn't that excite you this morning? And you know what it means by any time? That means no matter where you are. All right? Well, I haven't been reading my Bible, and I haven't been trained. You can call on the Lord. Now, it's not that I'm giving you excuses not to read or to pray. But God is always there. And, you know, this was David's confident declaration of trust. You know, "Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer," or my fortress. That he is the ultimate, as I said, ultimate stronghold for safety. And the truth is, you and I should adapt to that, whatever you want to say, okay? We should feel that way too. Whenever. Whenever David was in distress, he was confident that God was his rock. And whenever we are in distress, we should be confident that God is our rock. In Psalm 18:3, he says, "I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." God just gave us a formula right there. Amen? And a promise. You got enemies all around you. What should you do? Start praising. Amen? I know you don't want to do that, but you should start praising. Then in verse 6, he said, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him, even to his ears." And I like this. And how did God respond? You know, how did he respond? In each situation when David cried out for help, well, we want to think sometimes he ignored him because it was better if he didn't help him. When is it better if God doesn't help you? I am sorry. When is it better that he just leaves you alone? But how did he answer? Verse 19. "He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." In other words, he delivered me. Clearly, when David was being hunted down by King Saul, he felt trapped. He felt hemmed in on every side. You ever felt like that? Do you feel like that right now? I mean, is there a situation in your life right now that you can't see the way out of? You know that if you turn left or if you say this or if you turn, it's just not going to turn out well. Call on the Lord who has been there already. He knows the way out. But God always hears the confident cry of him to deliver people. In Psalm 18:36, David went on to say this: "You enlarged my path under me, so my foot did not slip." When you feel like your feet are slipping off the path, when you feel like it just isn't wide enough, you can't seem to get any traction, you can pray to the Lord just like David did. And God will enable you to regain your footing and set you upon a rock so that you're above your enemies and you can look down on them. They can't reach you from where you are. That's good stuff. Number 3, God will frustrate the plans of the wicked. Now understand, when I say the wicked, I'm talking about the wicked. No, You might not think of a person nowadays being, you know, who does something to you or says something or comes against you as being wicked, but these promises apply. Amen? Good. David, like you and I, was no stranger to the schemes of Satan, okay? And his working through evil men or women. Yet he remained confident in the Lord. Why? Why? Because the plans of the wicked could not succeed against David because of the Lord's divine intervention. I hope you're getting this. Whenever David was attacked, he would immediately turn to the Lord in prayer. Immediately. And here's another principle, and I mentioned it just earlier, that we can learn from King David. And that is, make prayer your first choice, not your last resort. Amen? I mean, we have experience. We have read books that tell us how to respond. But it is better to go to the Lord than rely on your experience. Amen? Amen. For example, in Psalm 22:19, he prayed, "But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me." Why did David pray this way? Because of God's track record of showing up, okay, and arriving when he's called and thwarting the enemy's plans. So David repeatedly made declarations like this one. And again, I'm going to say this right now because I want you to understand the Psalms are a result of him going through things, all right, and having God respond in a positive way. Are you with me? These aren't things that he's hoping he's going to say out of his mouth, although it isn't so important what you say out of your mouth. But he's not just saying these things or writing these things hoping they would happen. No, he's saying these things and writing these things because he is confident because they have already happened. Amen. It's already an established promise. Then in Psalm 27:1, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I mean, that's a mouthful right there. Whom shall I fear? "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Do you see what it doesn't matter what your strength is. My strength is small. It's the strength of the Lord in me. Amen? "The Lord is the strength of my life." So I'm not going to be afraid of anybody or anything. David had so much confidence in God that he made this his mantra, okay? Because he knew that God would frustrate the plans of his enemies. He knew it. He knew by experience that God had already frustrated the plans of so many other enemies that he'll do it again and he'll continue to do it. I want you to know this morning, this isn't just King David. I heard some, how can I say this without saying where it came from? I saw it on Instagram, where a pastor that I listen to quite often and T.D. Jakes were heretics, just heretics, because they put themselves in Scripture. Because they would change things like, you know, where it says that, you know, "I will not fear, I make it Wes will not fear." Boy, they're heretics. You know, if you can't do that, if that is really true and that is heresy, where, you know, I find power in the Word of God when I can insert myself into the promises and speak those things and say, "I will not fear." You know, "God will deliver me." No, he was talking about David. No, he's talking about me. Amen? Instagram. Yeah. Anyway, David was confident. David knew. All right? Number four, the Lord is our mighty deliverer. Psalm 31:1-4, David lifted up his voice to God and said this, okay? "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, the fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." You know, can I confess something to you here? That's the scripture I pray for our government right now. They're laying a trap. Okay? Let them fall into it then. Well, I got a couple amens. Four people will be back next week. But once again, we see David referring to the Lord as his rock and his fortress. Because of his experience in life, and in David's mind, it was the only way, okay? It's God. It's only him who could successfully deliver him from all the traps that the enemy set. All of history and all of his story, if you will, demonstrates that David was never disappointed. Never disappointed in the confidence that he put in God. You know, we can put confidence in man, we can put confidence in ourselves, and they will eventually fail you. But God will never fail you. Say never. He will never fail you. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That tells me that he has so much love for me that he'll make sure I'm going to make it. He'll make sure that I'm not going to fail. Amen? Amen. God always came through for David. And please understand the truth of the word and the truth of what is being said here. It means that he will always come through for you. I'm going to keep putting my name in those scriptures. Amen? The Lord is whose shepherd? My shepherd. Oh, no, it was David. No, he's my shepherd. Amen? He's my good shepherd. Hallelujah. All right. Number five. I've got 17. Not really. The Lord is our hiding place. There are times when David could see trouble coming. You know what that's like. And he would ask the Lord to hide him out of the sight of his enemies. Has that ever happened to you? Like you're in the store in aisle 12 and you see that person? you know, and you take off for aisle 3. You know, you don't want anything in aisle 3, but... Okay. What's that? Yeah. We see in Psalm 31:20... You shall hide them in the secret, talking about people. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. Glory to God. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Oh, here we go. Now we're starting to zero in on things here. What is a strife of tongues? Well, the strife of tongues is a reference to the times when people say evil, rotten, nasty things about you, making up whatever it is that fits their narrative. When people attack your character or your integrity by making statements that are so opposite of what is in your heart, accusing you of doing something that is totally not your intention. I think that's the hardest thing about ministry. I really do. Is when people come and they say, you did this, this, and this. And it's like, and you meant to do it. No, I didn't. What do you mean? Or you try to help people and all of a sudden it's thrown back in your face and as some kind of an evil thing. It's difficult at times like that. Amen? Amen. Believe it or not, that happens. Okay? This verse lets you and I know this, okay? That we can pray and ask the Lord to protect us from the verbal assaults of people. And people that will quite often bring lies and improper things against us. Amen? Just like David declared in Psalm 37:2, we too can proclaim, you are my hiding place, 32:7. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. Glory to God. You should get excited. You should give the Lord a hand clap. I mean, think about it. You are surrounded so that the enemy can't get in. I mean, when you can't seem to get out of the line of fire of someone with a loose and uncontrolled tongue, the Lord will surround you. Come on. The Lord will surround you with songs of deliverance. Glory be to God. Number six. And I'm almost done here. Almost. Your steps are directed by God. No matter what. Your steps are directed by God. When you don't know what's coming next, you can find comfort and reassurance in Psalm 37, 23, and 24, which says this, the steps of a good man or a good woman are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. This verse ensures you and I that even when we go through difficult times, God is still at work. Amen? Amen. Come on. Even when you can't see him, we sing a song like that, okay? Even when you can't see him or feel him, he's always behind the scenes, directing your steps, straightening out the paths before you. Remember Romans 8:28, and it simply says this, and I'm sure you already know. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Everything that you go through, God will work it together for good. Am I saying that you are going only through the things that you go through are God's will? No, absolutely not. I've ended up going through things that are my will. I end up going through things that are the enemy's will, trying to destroy me. Have you ever been in the same place? Come on. Yeah. David then adds in verse 24, though he fall, that's you and I, he shall not be utterly cast down. And this is so good. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord upholds him with his hand. What an awesome encouragement. Even when we mess up, all right? How many of you know what it means to mess up? Even then, at those times when you feel so alienated from God, when in your estimation, God is gone, God is still holding us up with his mighty hand of strength, causing all things to work together for the good for those that love him, for those that are the called according to his purpose. Amen? Was David free from trouble? No, no. I mean, at one point when David was running for his life, and he was actually captured by the Philistines, and things didn't look good. I mean, they didn't look good at all. But after the experience, he wrote this in Psalm 56, 2 through 4. He said this, my enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, Almost High. Whenever I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. Glory to God, I will praise his word. Don't ever think it's okay to set aside the Bible as some sort of an outdated book. I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? Amen. In this passage, we see another phrase that David speaks throughout the Psalms. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. I'm not going to be afraid of what you levy against me. I'm not going to be afraid of your threats. You know, my steps are ordered. We have to know, there's no way that David could repeatedly make such bold statements unless he had a supernatural confidence that the Lord was truly for him and not against him. Amen? David didn't doubt the goodness of God. And you and I can't doubt the goodness of God. It is foundational to our walk with the Lord. We have to believe and trust and have confidence in the fact that God is for us and not against us, always for us, never against us. Somebody needs to hear this morning. God doesn't attack us. God delivers us and directs us. Through all of life's experiences, David had learned no one could stand against him because God was standing with him. I'll say that again. David had learned that no one could stand against him because his God was standing with him. Amen. That's you too, Gary. That's you too. I mean, that's everybody in here. God is standing with you.
Amen.
All right. So, what was really the key to King David's success? I mean, I know he went through some bad stuff. I know he made some really rotten decisions and hurt a lot of people. I know that. But what was the key, really, to his success? The key to his success was and is on fixing your heart on God. We have to fix our hearts on God. David had discovered the key to victory through all the life-threatening challenges that he faced, through the king chasing him, through everybody trying to kill him, his son turning against him, then his trusted servant going out and killing his other son when he was told not to. He just went through all kinds of stuff. But But his heart was focused on the Lord, excuse me. We see this principle repeated, okay, in Psalm 112:7, which says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. The fact is that in this life, we're going to experience trouble and tribulation. Are you with me? We're going to. Bad confession. No, true. All right? Again, Jesus himself told us this in John 16:33. But please don't quote the scripture to fit your narrative without quoting all of it. Amen. Come on. Come on. With his next breath, Jesus proclaimed to you and I, but be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Saying, in effect, those things are going to come. That's going to happen. Hard times are a fact of life. And it will come and confront your confidence. But you know what? I have conquered it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I mean, that ought to make you excited this morning. David understood this key to truth, which prompted him to write Psalm 34:19. I don't think I've ever had this much scripture in one message before. He wrote this: many are the afflictions of the righteous. Thank you. But, say it with me. But the Lord delivers him out of some of them. But the Lord delivers him out of the ones he decides to. But the Lord delivers him out of all of them. All. What is difficult about understanding the word all? Amen? It's in understanding little words like that that we can understand and be confident in what the Lord is going to do for us. And the key to David's confidence was his heart was fixed on the Lord. Did David experience times of fear? Yeah, absolutely. But he learned to fix his focus on the goodness of God, the good shepherd, instead of fixing his focus on the problems. He walked through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't stay in the valley of the shadow of death. David's words, they show us the care of our good shepherd, amen, whose influence transcends even the worst that life can throw at us. And that's the truth. And even though being a follower of Jesus doesn't make us exempt from the challenges of life, it doesn't, our good shepherd is an ever-present help in time of need. Oh, glory to God. Our good shepherd is an ever-present help in time of need. He carries the rod for dealing with our enemies. And the staff directs us. Amen? He has not failed you in the past. And he will not fail you in the future. And we have to answer his call to confidence. Amen? Let's look at Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The only way you can do that is the next line. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways. How many? Well, what about these things that I know about, I don't have to go to God about? What about those things? It's all, okay? In all your ways, acknowledge him. Keep him in your life. Hey, God. Lord. Sorry, God. I say sorry, God, quite a bit some days. But the Bible then says, just simply states, you know, that, and he shall direct your paths. Now, I didn't have this on the in the sermons, but could you pull up Psalm 23 out of New King James Version, the almost authorized version? Do you understand what it means to in all your ways acknowledge him? That's in the good times and the bad times. That's no matter what you're doing, I'm gonna try to please God. You know, it's that part of you that's always keeping a constant awareness that God is there. How many of you, if you really had that awareness, Do you think it would stop you from doing that thing that's so easy to beset you? I bet it would. I bet it would. Are you finding it? She's finding it. It's my daughter, you know. We have said the 23rd Psalm every Sunday, and we're going to be doing it for at least probably three more. Amen. Tell you what, I'll start slowly. The Lord. There we go. Is that amplified? Is that amplified? It's what? All right, just listen to me. Say that. Say this after me. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He makes me to lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside the still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Amen. Oh, we're there. For his name's sake. Here we go. Say it with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. God gives you so much that when you have a cup, you know what? You end up with overflow. Amen? Overflow. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to God. That psalm of confidence, the psalm was written after, they think anyway, after King David had become king, okay? After he had had most of his challenges and things, he wrote this psalm. And if he can be confident through all of the different things that he went through in his life, death of loved ones, you know, his kingdom being torn from him, his house being torn apart, many other things. I think that we could be confident in the Lord in those situations. Amen? And I think that we could keep God in our thinking. And I know that's the key to so much of the victory that lies in Jesus, is not thinking of God only during your prayer time, closing the door, and walking away and not thinking of him again until the next morning. And not coming to church on a Sunday, worshiping and praising and sitting down. God would have you worship. There is power in worshiping. There's power in praising. So he would have you to do that every day, all the time. Are you with me? And I should probably stop. Amen. Amen. Why don't you bow your head with me?